How do people get started? Where do they get stuck? Does their family really follow along when they want to get organized? Wouldn't you love to peek behind the curtain and see how other people in the 100-day program are actually getting their home organized? Well, that's what we're going to be doing from now on the Wednesday new Organize 365 podcast. I would love to introduce you to your fellow Organize 365 members that are on this home organization journey with you. Let's see how they have gone from disorganized to organized. Lauren, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm super excited to dive in. We just started talking off air about how we knew each other. So how did you first find Organize 365?
Through podcasts. I had just had, I've got three little kids now and I'm expecting my fourth. And I think I had just had my first and I was transitioning into being at home and had no idea how to actually run a house or do anything. And we had all this stuff and I was in a tiny little apartment and I needed help.
So tell me about your family. Do you still live in an apartment with all of your kids?
No. Okay. We did end up building a house. Yeah, no, we would not have room. I lived in there until I had two kids, though, my second baby, and then we moved, so it was pretty crowded by the end. But I got my husband helped me build my dream home.
Oh, so, tell us about it.
So we live in an older neighborhood. It's architecturally protected as a heritage neighborhood. It's lots of pretty old houses. It's about over 100 years old, which is very, very old for this part of the country. And he pretty much just said, like, you pick what you like and build it and we'll live there and we'll have our family. And so we built it around everything that we wanted. And it was really fun. I'm a project manager, I guess, by trade. So I've managed construction projects for years. And so I got to do my own project. And I guess having like the whole project management process in my mind kind of made me want to use something like Organize 365. I needed a system.
So. Oh, you needed a system to plug it into. So yeah. You said you're due. When are you due with your next baby?
I'm due in April with my fourth.
Okay. And so how old are the other three?
I've got a five-year-old who's in kindergarten, a three-year-old in preschool. She's turning four next week. And a one-year-old baby.
Wow. You are busy.
Yes.
You're running your own little classroom around there.
Kind of. I'm really lucky though. I have help. I've got a housekeeper that comes once a week and I have a nanny so I can run my business. I can manage them. We've got lots going on.
It sounds like you do. And you're just, you seem to be juggling it all well.
Trying.
All right. Well, why did you decide to get organized?
I think I had postpartum depression after my first child. And I just, like, it was a total life change being at home, seeing the mess, seeing the clutter, dealing with this baby that I had no idea what to do with. And I just needed some help. So I think my way of controlling everything is trying to control what I could see. So in controlling the mess and the stuff. And we had combined, I lived on my own before, he lived on his own before. So when we moved in together, we had double the stuff, half the space, and it was just too much. So I really just was looking for a way to manage it, and I came across you.
You know, I wanted to be a mother since as soon as I realized that you could be a mother. I carried around my baby doll for way too long. I was 16, still walking around with a baby doll. I babysat, then I went and got a teaching degree, realized you needed a husband, so I got one of the, like, everything was to have children.
Yes.
And I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, that's what I wanted. And then I was home with this colicky baby that would not sleep, and I need sleep, and I mean, it is rough. It does not matter how much you love the baby. The first year of a baby's life is just, you're never prepared for it. I mean, I think I was pretty prepared. I could quote the doctor's verse. I went to school for early childhood development, not even elementary school. Like, I knew all of the early childhood psychologists and everything, and it does not prepare you for the sleep deprivation, the monotony of the every, you know, same book every day for months and months and months, same video, you know, every 10 seconds they need another thing and no time to think. Like, I think that's the thing I miss the most. the first year of life was I didn't have any time to think. And I'm a thinker. I like thinking time. And so you can't even explain it to anyone until they go through it. But it's definitely, I think it's also a loss of self. Like you
absolutely.
Are.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Not in a bad way, just as a fact. Like you will never be an independent human after you have another child, whether it's by birth or in my case through adoption. Your life will never be the same again because it's not 100% yours ever again.
And you're right. There's no way you can prepare for it. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. You're just there.
Yeah.
But one thing that I actually think about all the time is how you talk about how you didn't like toddlers. And that makes me feel better because I feel like I'm just supposed to like enjoy everything and love it and soak it up and take pictures. And I'm like, no, we're just kind of waiting to get to the next stage.
Yeah. I really,
that's okay.
I love babies, but I'm so driven and so goal oriented. It takes them a long time to learn, you know, how to crawl or whatever the next thing is. Here's the other thing. I was a stay-at-home mom. So I took care of the kids. I was doing the direct sales company. I was doing all those things. But whenever we would go to my mother-in-law's or we would go somewhere and people are like, oh, I'll hold the baby for you. I was like, no, this is the only time I can actually just sit and hold a baby. Come over to my house and hold the baby while I'm cleaning or clean my house so I can hold my baby. Like I wanted to hold my baby and that's what I almost never had the time for.
I totally agree. I will, because I nurse my babies, I'll sneak away to just hold them when I'm at someone else's house.
Yes. I remember with Abby, cause she was our second and you know, our last, and I didn't mind the middle of the night feedings cause it was just her and I, and there were no to do's and there, you know, Joey wasn't asking anything. I didn't have to do anything household related. Like I savored every one of those nights just getting to hold her.
And you have that special time together. Yeah. Agree. I love that. That's my favorite is just snuggling the babies till they start telling you no. I have things to do, Mom. I don't want to snuggle anymore.
I know. Joey wanted down as soon as he realized what down was. Abby let me hold her for about 2 years. It was awesome. I loved it. Yeah. Wow. So I think that while you recognize that you had postpartum depression, have you had it with the other ones as well, if I can ask?
I did. I was treated after my second, and I'm still on antidepressants.
Okay. So it's a
just to get me through this next stage.
Yeah. I think you're either prone to it or not, but I still think that there is a... Somebody said it was like the fourth trimester I've heard of that also. Like I had never heard of that before. And as an adoptive mom, like you just say, oh, well, you didn't have the baby. I haven't read anything about it because I don't slow down enough, but there definitely was a depression even after I got adopted my babies, like of that loss of time and also the loss of not having the pregnancy. Like having the baby and a lot of family members and friends would not rejoice with us until the adoption was finalized, which was later. So you didn't even get like the afterglow or like people don't bring food and stuff to families that are adopted like they do to others. Like it's just interesting. Like your ideal of what you thought it would be and what it's really like usually don't actually match.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. And you know what? I've like read a lot about postpartum depression and dads get it. They don't have the baby. Like it does. I think it's just a change. Like your life changes so drastically. You're not sleeping. You're not eating properly. You can't take care of yourself. And you're beholden to this baby that just cries.
Not
that you don't want to be, but like it's hard.
I often say to Greg, I don't know how he did it. He says he was a cross country runner and that prepared him for life. So he would come home from work. And we would do the bottles and everything for Joey. And then he would take Joey from 8 o'clock until midnight. And I would go to bed at 8. And then I would get up with Joey at 2 and whatever. And he would sleep from midnight until 7 and then go to work. And I mean, he said he was a zombie as well. Like it was just like constant, what needs to be next? What needs to be next? Okay, sleep, work, eat, baby, bed, sleep. And that's like 6 months of your first baby's life.
Yep. No, my husband's that way too. He just like, I don't know how you do it. Because he's been... He's a physician. He'll be on call. Last night in the middle of the night, he had 2 calls and woke him up just for work. Like that's not even like a baby you have to attend to, but he's just so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
It destroys me.
But I agree with you. Like, I think that we are looking for like, okay, we can't control the baby. We can't control. There are a lot of things we can't control. So then we look at what we can control. I think the healthy way is to look at how you control your physical stuff. The other thing we tend to do is try to control other people And so I would just, instead of driving my husband nuts, I would be like, I'm rearranging this cabinet again. Maybe if I rearrange this cabinet 89 times, then my kitchen will flow better and I will have more peace because this baby won't sleep. So I 100% know where you were when you decided to get organized. Do you remember what time of year it was or how you got started?
I'm pretty sure it was winter because I would have been stuck inside, which is why it would have been bothering me so much.
Yep.
And you're right. I would just like line up the cereal boxes in order from tallest to shortest because I felt like I had control.
Yes, totally. Totally. And then Greg would come home. I'd be like, this is how cereal boxes go now.
And then they think the next day, okay, what move today? Where's this?
Meanwhile, he doesn't even eat cereal. Doesn't even care. And do you remember what you did first?
I remember there was a lot of papers that came home with from the hospital. And so I did make my own sort of makeshift Sunday basket. Mm-hmm. So that was one. But then again, like I just couldn't quite get it to work right until I got the real one. The papers were first. And then I think I did the free week. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I could do this. Like all I have to do is turn it on and listen to what you tell me to do. And then it made it easy. And then like way back at the beginning of your podcast, you went through like all the different places in your house. Mm-hmm. So I would just pick one and then like putter at it and then pick the next one and then putter at it. And it's so much easier when someone else is telling you and you don't have to decide and you don't have to think about what needs to be happening first. And you just follow the program.
Yeah, that's another thing that I think I wasn't prepared for in parenthood. Like, I like to be in charge. I really do. But the amount of decisions you have to make for another human every day is mind-boggling.
Yes.
Like, how did they actually poop today? When was the last time they ate? How much did they eat? And then if they were sick, like, I literally had to write it down on a piece of paper. I would sit down and be like, okay, here are all the medicines they can have. Here's when they can have them. So that I would remember what we had given them when, like, even if they just have a little cold, like it's what are they going to wear today? Okay. That doesn't fit anymore because they grow out of stuff so fast. Or I gave them squash yesterday, so I'm supposed to give them a green vegetable today. Like there's so many rules.
There are. And by now I've given up on them.
But in the beginning,
that's fantastic. But you're right. At the beginning, it's like, how many times did you pee? How many times did you poop?
Right. By the way, we're just going to say it only matters if they don't do it.
True.
Skip ahead. As long as they're doing it, move on. They're going to be fine.
And then, you usually notice after a day or two now.
Yeah. It's really bad when you're like, oh, shoot, when did they? How long has it been? You're going on your fourth child. You're like, oh, maybe I should have a little bit closer record. They'll be fine. So when was the first time that you noticed something was organized that was not organized before?
So I was really thinking about this. There's a few instances that really like kind of shocked me. One time I had a meeting with a lawyer and we were going in with another group and he's like, she's just so organized. I was like, wait, you're talking to me about me? So that was the first time I really like recognized it because someone else kind of talked about me in that way. I was like, I've never really considered myself an organized person. So that recognition really helped. And then I started to notice around the house. One time, like I do my laundry in the morning and then I fold it at night and I went to go fold laundry and there wasn't any.
Isn't that weird?
Now what do I do?
So weird.
Because we do at least one or two loads a day around here. Mm-hmm. And I just, it's just little stuff. Like you open the drawer and it's like, oh, that's where I left it. And oh, that actually looks nice. And you can find things.
Yeah, I remember for me, it was my storage room. Like every year I dreaded it. I always went through it when the Christmas decorations were out because it was half empty and I would turn on the radio. I'd be down there all weekend. And I remember I went down there like the year after I had done all of this. And I was like, okay, this is going to be a whole day. Like I had the fountain Coke at the time and the movies and the portable DVD player. I was ready to go. And I walked in and I was like it's not really disorganized.
Much to do.
And then I was like, well, darn, because like now I kind of want to do it. And then like an hour later, like everything was done. And I was like, huh, I don't know if I like actually being organized, but mentally I started looking around for things that had always weighed on me. I had gotten rid of them. And I was like, I'd forgotten that I had gotten rid of them.
Yes. The stuff that you're dreading. And then it's like, oh, yes. It's not even here anymore.
It's not even here. I'm still dreading it. It's not even here anymore. That was really, really weird for me.
I actually had that happen this morning. So I'm finishing up my binders.
Yeah.
And I've had them in containers that just need to be put into the binders forever. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to finish the last one. I just need to hole punch, organize it. I got 2 binders done this morning in half an hour because it was all in order already, filed through, and I'd gotten rid of all the extra. It's like, I've been dreading this job for weeks.
Right.
And it takes me half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we were still in that old mindset of like, oh, organization takes so long and I'm going to need so many things. But your organizational muscles are really strong, Lauren.
They are now. They were not before.
Perfect timing for that 4th baby.
Yes, nesting hardcore over here.
So what has happened since you started on the journey of organizing that you didn't expect to happen?
Well, I kind of had the mindset that once my kids were born, I would stay home. Mm-hmm. And I did that for about 2 years and it was just not for me, but I never considered then what. Mm-hmm. So we actually started our own company that I'm working in, and I'm able to do both. I'm able to work and manage business stuff, and I'm able to manage my house, and everything runs and the kids are alive and we get fed every night. And I think our family's good. And I didn't really expect that. I didn't think I could do both.
Yeah, I'm amazed at the capacity I have with my time. Like, I feel like I could do so much with my time. And then I'm like, well, is it because my kids are older? Is it because my business is more established? Which I'm a visionary. So for any of you that don't know what that means, it means that I create chaos inside of Organize 365 regularly. As soon as it seems like it's going just fine, I say to the team, we're going to have all these new things. They go, oh my gosh. I just can do so much more than I used to be able to do. I have so much more capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And now I'm even looking for extra to add on to it. I'm like, okay, well, I've got free time in the evening. Like, I need a new project.
Yeah. Even though you have 3 kids with 1 on the way.
Yeah.
And your youngest is a baby.
She's a good sleeper. But yeah, I've just become very efficient. I don't know. It's because I know where things are. I know how to find them. I know the process and the system, and the family follows along. And like, my husband's amazing. He puts up with all of this, and yeah, it just works.
Does he notice a difference in you?
I don't know. He's been very traditional, mm-hmm. With like, the house is mine and his work is his, and
my
he does the
too.
Outside and I do the inside.
Yes, but exactly. Yeah. He's garbage. When it's not I'm dishes.
Yes, exactly. When it's not in place, he definitely notices. Like, if the house is messy or there's like supper's not a good supper, like, he'll be like, what's going on?
Yeah, I didn't do that one, by the way. I took that one off.
I know. I'm amazed. I don't know how. Although,
but when my kids were
like,
little, I did it.
Cooking's probably like my passion project, though, too. I love to cook. I love my kitchen.
Your husband's so lucky.
He's Italian also. So food is like number one for him.
But I mean, the first 12 years of the kids' lives, I did have dinner on the table every night. Like, I did do it. Sometimes it was frozen pizza. Okay, a lot of the times it was frozen pizza. But I did make dinner, unless it was grilling season, which is my favorite season of all time. Yes. Is grilling season. Because Greg, yes. Traditional, Greg grills. I cook, he grills. Yeah. Very.
And then it's even better when you eat outside and there's no mess.
Exactly. Exactly. So when you went down and you went to fold the laundry and there was no laundry to fold, do you remember how you did use that free time? Or how you're using any of
it? I spent
a
lot more time just with my kids, just hanging out. Mm-hmm. Without like, oh, there's that laundry I need to fold, or I should finish the dishes, or I should look at this or do that. And it's like, no, I can just hang out and we can watch a movie. We can read stories. We can play Barbies. We can just sit on the floor and just be here.
How fun is that?
I love it. Yeah. Our evenings are just really enjoyable.
Wow. And do you ever find that you take that time just for you?
I try to take my time in the day when they're at school or something.
Okay.
So I can spend that time with them. Like, once they come home from school and preschool, it's like hanging out, dinner, doing the evening stuff, and then they go to bed pretty early.
Yeah, because they're so
little.
So
my time is daytime. Yeah.
Okay.
My work is probably my thing.
Yeah,
I'm making room for that. I like it a lot.
Well, I think it's not necessarily work. I think we want to be productive contributors to society, and motherhood is definitely that, But I think that if you have the capacity to do that and something, like usually we want something like I'm doing puzzles. But I'm like, it's fun. Like I'm not changing the world doing puzzles. Like I'm changing the world doing organized 365. Like I'm making an impact beyond inside of my nuclear home. And I love that.
And it makes you feel good. Yeah. That you're helping other people and you're interacting with other people and making your mark on the world.
Yeah,
definitely.
So have you experienced any unexpected events over the course of your getting organized?
This one didn't, it affected me, but it didn't so much. So my parents are split and my mom passed away just after my first daughter was born. So the whole house and estate and all of that had to be dealt with, but my sister honestly did most of it. Mm-hmm. But it was an unexpected event for sure. She was ill, but I mean, there's still like, it was our childhood home. Mm-hmm. There's the emotional impact of everything and our family. And so there was that one. And then like just having the kids like pretty close together was another like, okay, you're going to do this again. So
yeah. Yeah. Unexpected events can be happy or sad.
Yeah. Just, I guess how life goes. And I think I'm better able to deal with it when I feel like I'm in control of it. So
when your schedule gets thrown off, like, I mean, obviously, you know, pretty much when you're going to have this baby and you're preparing, but when your schedule gets thrown off, what I find is I have the capacity to move things and to drop things out of my priority and bring them back later after the unexpected event has passed.
Yes.
But before I got organized, there was no capacity and there was no organization. So every unexpected, it was just like, I went from fire to fire to fire to fire. And if there wasn't a fire, I pretty much created one because I didn't know how to function other than just putting out fires.
Yeah. You know, what's funny about that is also because to do with my work, like in construction, there's a lot of fires mm-hmm. and it's kind of exciting to put out the fires.
Yes. I love it.
And you get kind of addicted to it.
You do.
And then all of a sudden there's no fires and you're like, oh, now I guess I can plan. I can be proactive. Mm-hmm. Like let's make some chaos.
Yeah. I think that channeling that ability to make decisions and take action and bring order out of chaos that you're used to doing in an urgent form, you then have to say, okay, how can I make that same impact in a more thoughtful, peaceful way? That was a huge transition for me. It took years.
Yeah. It's just a totally different way of looking at things and deciding like where to be intentional and where do you want to spend your time and what's the most important and what's going to have the biggest impact. It's a lot more effective, but it's not as exciting.
It's not as exciting. And so I've said before that I create chaos. I'm well aware. And early on in Organize 365, when I would have a team, and the website went down, you would have thought that the Queen of England had passed away and we had to go into the whole protocol of what happens when we transition power. You know, we need to be up in the middle of the night. There were like 5 people on the blog. Like who really cares that it was down? Like it did not matter, but I made it a big deal. And now I just say there are no organizing. We don't have any emergencies in Organize 365. So a new contractor is working with us and they said, okay, if there's an emergency and you're unreachable, who do we go to? And I was like, all right, you go to this person, but just so you know, we don't have emergencies in Organize 365. So it probably can wait until you get in touch with me. Like we just, what could possibly happen that is such an emergency that we need to create chaos? I mean, that's how far removed I am from the making the fires now.
I really admire that. That's
the team loves it. The team loves it because they'll be like, Lisa, this, that. I'm like, all right. Well, first of all, we don't have emergencies, which takes everything down like 50%. And then they take a breath. And then Vanessa tells us to take three breaths. And then I'm like, okay, what's the problem? Here's how we're going to solve it. Here's how long it's going to take. And if we need to communicate that with our audience, here's how we're going to communicate it with our audience until we get it fixed. Because why would I make my team members stress out about something they probably don't have control over anyway? It's just not worth it.
They probably really appreciate that, you know, like yeah. That would make work so much more peaceful.
Well, yeah. And you have the freedom then to breathe and to solve problems and to get out of that, whatever that lizard brain is or the reptilian brain or whatever that non-productive brain is and back into your rational mind and be like, okay, well, this has happened. So what is the best for our customers and how can we most quickly implement that? That's the process we go through. And then we worry about the cost later.
It's awesome though. That's so good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would love to work at a, well, I mean, obviously I work for myself now, but
yeah, you can do this for yourself, Lauren.
On a team, you don't want to be like scared of your boss. You don't want to be like mm-hmm. not handling the emergency. You don't want to be in charge of the emergency. Right. If there's no emergency, life is good.
Well, and you know, I think about this a lot and I don't have an outlet to talk about it. So I'm going to talk to you about it. But as a business owner today, especially, you know, they often say that females run businesses different than men do. But if I look around for my examples of females that own businesses like mine, I don't really have many other than podcasts I listen to. There are two female business owners I know here in Cincinnati. I go out to lunch with them regularly, but they've grown much more bricks and mortar traditional businesses. So I finally, and even my team said to me, Lisa, you could do whatever you want. Like we could create whatever kind of a company we want. What do we want it to look like? And when I realized that it's really like a classroom and I'm the teacher and it's just like the mom at home. Like if you're stressed, Lauren, aren't the kids like a little on edge and your husband's like, what's going on? Like they all look to you, but if you're calm, they're all calm. Even if the house is literally on fire, you're like line up by the door, out we go, you know, and they're like, okay, following mom. It's the same thing in business. Like if the business owner is calm, and says, okay, well, how much is that going to cost? Great, we have credit for that. We're going to solve the problem. Then the whole entire team is calm. And they're like, okay, well, we need to help implement this so that we can fix the problem. And they want to fix it even more than they would if the place was actually burning down.
It's true.
If it was burning down, you want to save yourself. But if you're following a leader that's like, all right, we're going to solve this problem together, you're like, okay, well, what do I need to do? I'll work weekends. What do we need to do to fix this for our customers? And I think if there's one thing I could say to especially female business owners that are starting their own businesses, what do you want it to look like? What is missing?
There's so much freedom. It's true. You can do whatever you want with it. Mm-hmm. I would like to read a book about that, actually, about how female leaders differ from. I've looked at that with politicians, too.
Yeah.
I don't want to say maternal, but a more caring, compassionate attitude.
A more win-win, all-inclusive. I'm really unpacking that because there's a lot that I respect in male leaders, but I find that I'm intimidated around men. Like I'm intimidated in a room of men and I'll often be like, oh yeah, we can do this. And then I go home and I'm like, no, that doesn't work for our team. That doesn't work for how we're growing our business. I think it's uncharted territory.
Like, and you have a team of all women too, right?
I do. Yeah. We're not opposed to men.
But so far it's all women. Environment. It probably feels a little different then.
And we're all pretty much middle-aged women too.
There you go.
We're not and like mom. Millennials or anything. So actually we do have a few millennials, but we have some baby boomers too. Like we're mature women on our team. And so I think we're a microcosm of the actual organized 365 community. All right. Well, back to the regularly scheduled program. You know how I do these little divergent paths. No, it's totally me. It's always me chasing the rabbit trail. You know, if the Wednesday podcast was just answering these 10 questions every woman, there wouldn't be, I wouldn't keep listening to them. But finding these little things that make you and I unique and having that discussion in amongst how the 100-day program or the systems are helping you, I think that's where the true value comes in.
It's true. I love listening just to hear about people's lives and
it's like our reality TV show. It's like our organized 365 reality podcast. That's what it is.
Yes.
Yes.
And then I love going in the groups and being like, oh, I think I heard her on the podcast.
I love it. All right. So what do you think you have more of now?
You're going to be proud of me for this one. I have a lot of naps.
Maps?
Naps.
Oh, naps. With an N. I'm like, where are you traveling to? Good. How many naps are you taking, Lauren?
I nap almost every day.
See, ladies, she has children under 5. She's taking a nap every day. Somebody DM'd me on Instagram and they said, okay, I've listened to your podcast. I know you're going to tell me to take a nap, but if I want to do something other than take a nap, what would I do? And I replied back, first take the nap. Then does it help? Am I right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yes. I mean, a nap is the same as, it's better than actually checking things off your to-do list. It's just, if your children are under 5.
It goes on my to-do list now. Like I scheduled my naps.
Yes. I remember I was doing virtual organizing years ago. There was a woman like you. I think she had four children and she would nap with her children. So she would fall asleep with her child in the bedroom and she would get up and she would do really, I can't remember what this was. She couldn't open the door to leave or the child would wake up, but she would just take like a 20 or 30 minute nap and the child would sleep 2 hours if she left it open. So I told her, I said, great, you need a second Keurig that we could put in the kitchen or in the bathroom and like a little refrigerator. So she got it. She was like, the best thing I ever did. Not only do I take a nap, but then I get my coffee and she had like a whole routine of what she did during that 2 hour quiet time that was hers versus just feeling stuck in her bedroom. Like we just need to think out of the box and
it's true.
Sleep is number one. Like you can,
absolutely. You can do everything if you have enough sleep.
You can live without water longer than you can live without sleep.
Really? I don't, wow.
Yeah, sleep is that important. You have to have sleep. Everybody sleep more. So what do you have less of? More naps and less what?
I have more naps and I have less, just like the busyness.
Yeah.
The whole plan neglect concept is like my favorite Lisa thing. Like, I'm just like, no, I'm making the decision. Like, I don't do social media other than Facebook for my groups. Like, I don't do Instagram. I don't know, whatever all the other stuff is. Mm-hmm. I don't really watch TV. Like, that's just my, like, maybe later I'll have time for it. But right now I just don't. So then we don't make a lot of commitments outside of the house. Like, we don't really do a lot of activities. We're busy people, but we don't have that, like, constant, like, oh, I'm so busy. Like, and it's just, there's more space.
I love that. I love that you gave those specific examples because in addition to all the roles we truly have inside of the planner, we also feel like we need to be doing all of those other things.
And you don't. Mm-hmm. If you have friends and you want to talk to them, you don't have to talk to them on the internet. You could just call them or text them.
They could bring their friends over, their kids over, and you could just
play dates. And then you can hang out.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love, my favorite part of having little kids was play dates. Absolutely favorite part. Yeah. I really wish I could figure out how to facilitate that again, just for me.
A mommy play date.
Yeah, just for actually women. Female play date. Maybe that's what girls' night out is. Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So what do you wish you'd done sooner?
I don't know if there's anything I would say I had done sooner. I wish I had the mindset shift sooner. Mm-hmm. But that came through the process. So I don't know if that could have happened. Like, I think I needed to be in that like really chaotic, unknown place to be able to recognize, okay, I need to do mm-hmm. something about this. And then how am I going to do that? And here's a system and let's make it better.
Yeah. What's your next step now?
I'm actually writing a novel.
Okay. I want to hear all about it.
I'm so excited. I've had this story in my mind for about 10 years. I've had bits and pieces written of it. My degree is actually in English, literature and creative writing.
Sorry for all my typos and spelling errors.
whatever. That's what editors are for.
Amen.
That's been kind of another passion of mine. And I decided, I think it was over my second mat leave, I wrote the first draft. Put it to the side. And I seem to get these like bursts of energy when I have a baby coming or after I've had a baby. So like over Christmas, I literally did the 100 days in like 20 days, I think. I nested. But that was one of those like rampages. Like in a month, I wrote a novel draft. And then now I'm editing it, rewriting it. I completely changed it from third person perspective to first. And I'm working with a writing coach and our plan is to send it out to query, hopefully in the spring, to see if I can find an agent.
Yay.
So I'm really
excited. What is it about? What is the novel about?
It's about a university student, a young girl, and she's dealing with lots of intergenerational sort of emotional trauma and she's overwhelmed and she runs away to Italy.
Good place to run away to.
Yeah.
How awesome. That is so cool. So we just did a Wednesday podcast episode a few episodes back. Another person who wrote a book after getting organized. So I'm calling these Organized 365 book babies. So when your book is done, I want a copy of the book. We're going to have, when we move to the new warehouse, we're putting in a bookshelf of all the books that I've reviewed on YouTube. And then we're going to have a shelf just for Organized 365 book babies.
Oh, yay. I can't wait.
Books that have come out of time that you got from getting organized. So yes,
but it's true. Yeah, I have the time and mental space to be able to do that.
That's incredible. That's incredible. So I wonder how many, you know, they often say, people say they on their bucket list is to write a book. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much of not writing that book is truly because you don't have the time versus you don't have the confidence.
I mean, I know it's both. The confidence.
Yeah.
But and you say you don't have the time.
Yeah, that's true.
You do.
Yeah.
But you need both. And it's like, it's a big project to take on. Mm-hmm. But having done other projects, it's like, okay, I can break this down. These are the steps. We can do it.
Yes. Awesome. Any advice that you would like to leave someone with before we end the podcast?
Take lots of naps.
Yay. Good job, Lauren. I'm so proud of you. Maybe I'll go take a nap after this.
Go have a nap.
thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. This has been wonderful.
I really appreciate you. And I know the rest of us do too, like all the other 365 people. So I'm glad we have you.
Thank you, Lauren.
Are you loving these new podcasts? Oh my gosh, I could talk to you guys forever. And I love talking to you actually in person. If you have a story and you would love to share it on the podcast, just go to organize365.com/Wednesday to apply.